Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Greg Hughes Podcast. Today we're stepping back in time with a man who has been a fixture on our roads for over six decades. If you've lived in Milford, Carrigart, Remelton, Letterkenny or Dannings, then you've likely seen his van or at least enjoyed the bread he delivered. Martin O'Donnell started his journey 65 years ago, back when the Grand National was only on the radio and the roads were quiet. From his early days working for Pat Kelly to becoming a self-employed staple of the community in the early 80s, Martin has seen it all. He's watched the local landscape shift from dozens of small shops to just a handful. But Martin's story isn't just about the long hours from 7 to 7. It's about a life of deep faith and incredible resilience. Whether it's receiving a papal honour for 50 years of service to the chapel in Milford, surviving a stray lorry wheel, or the nightly family rosary, which started regardless of what was on the television, Martin remains a man of steadfast conviction. And having finally hung up the keys last year at the age of 90, he joins us to share tales of the road, his Bedford, and a lifetime of service to North Donegal. Martin O'Donnell, thank you very much for calling up for a chat. So you were a bread man for 65 years. Yeah. Were you nicknamed the bread man? Did you have a nickname, the bread man, or did you have a nickname, or do you have a nickname?
Sometimes I love it, you know. like scratching me sometimes, you know.
You didn't go too far delivering bread from the home place. Fannad is...
Around the local area, Fannad and Sherry Shiel, Mulford, Remelton, Downings, Cranford
as well. Sorry, you originally did the Fannad area, but you're a Milford man. Talk to me about Milford back in the day when you were a younger lad.
What about it?
You tell me. What was it like to grow up in?
Oh, very, very good. You know, there were, people were very friendly always about the place. You know, people used to go at night visiting, you know, before the TVs and that, you know, and you'd hardly know your own neighbour now, but them days everybody knew everybody, you know.
And everyone was there to help everyone out too.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We were better at looking out for each other and socialising then.
Pardon?
We were better at looking out for each other then.
Oh, definitely, yes. Yes. Mm.
And I think up until relatively recently we were, you know, I don't think you have to go back, you know, 70, 80 years. We lost community or sense of community more recently, I think.
I would add yes.
You know. So what was school like for you? Did you enjoy school? Did you stay at school long?
I was just 14.
Yeah, same as myself.
Yeah. 14, we all left at that time, you know. Some of my brother and that or all that went to college or here in Remelton or in Letterkenny, you know. But I just stuck by the national school.
It wasn't for you going on to college and all?
No.
Wasn't your thing. The one rule in my house when it came up, I just didn't get on with school, was that I had to have a job. I had to do something. I couldn't not go to school and do nothing. So what was it like for you after you left school? Did you have to go working straight away?
No, I went to working straight away, yeah.
And what were you doing?
Well, first I went to job was into McMahon's garage.
Yeah.
Where I was on for a mechanic, you know. I spent 3 years there, and I got a bad dose of flu, and I got pneumonia, and I was in hospital for 6 months, you know.
Yeah.
And after I came back then, I got jobs then with people, you know, relieving people in different jobs, you know.
So you were 6 months in hospital?
I was. Got fluid in the lung.
Wow.
And I wasn't bad or anything yet. I never got any treatment or anything, you know.
But you couldn't have been great either.
No, I wasn't bad for that bad for him, you know.
Okay. And did it affect your lungs?
It did affect the lungs at the time, you know. I got the fluid removed and that, you know.
Wow. So that was the end of the mechanic side of things. Was that you finished then with mechanicking?
I stopped at the end because I was there. I got the I'm there in the mornings there, like frosty mornings and that. You know, the boiler shit you're hanging up in the place where it put up, it was nearly standing itself. Wow.
Wow. So you had to look after yourself, right?
Aye, that's a half, yeah.
So what age were you when you were in hospital, Martin?
I was 19.
Yeah. Okay, so when you come out then, you sort of said, right, what, are you covering for other people? Or
I just did jobs, other odd jobs, you know.
Yeah. Right, and how long did you do that for?
I suppose I was at maybe 2 or 3 years, you know.
Mm. And was it from there into the delivery that you went, or when did you start the delivery work?
I used to do work for people, you know, a week here for somebody else, you know, that's right.
Yeah. That's often, I mean, a lot of people got into their job that way.
Aye.
Covering for other people, yeah. Getting to know the ropes. Then
that's right.
Something comes up and you get the shout then.
That's the way it happened, yeah.
All right. Do you remember roughly what year then when you got the full-time job?
1960.
All right. 1960. Okay. And who was that for?
It was for Milford Bakewell. The owner of the agent was Pat Kelly. He was a county councillor.
Yeah.
You might have heard the name.
I did, of course, yeah.
Aye, well, it was him owned the business.
Yeah.
So he'd be the job there. I used to do relief work for him, you know, days that his usual driver was playing in a band.
Right.
And he was out late, and if he was out late at night, he would ring me they hadn't the phone, but maybe at that time, but he would contact me somewhere, you know, to do the deliveries for him, you know.
Right, okay. And what was it like when you got that contact, right? You're on, your boy's not coming in today. Were you excited or did you think about the money? Did you enjoy the job?
No, just whatever. I didn't worry about money at all, you know,
yeah.
With the job.
So you got the full-time job. And how long, you eventually ended up taking the business over from Pat.
He went up there, and the owner Pat Kelly, and came to me to say, "But take it over, you know."
Mm.
So I said, "I would." So it was free and easy. And
you knew the run.
Aye.
And come here. What kind of yokes were you driving? What kind of vans were you driving first off?
The first one was a Bedford.
Oh, lovely.
A fairly big van it was, you know, one big square body on it, you know.
That was the second van you had?
No, that was the first one.
No, the first one was smaller Bedford.
No, I had the big one first.
Oh, sorry, that's way back.
Yeah, right now, Joe, if you're going to butt in, get it right.
No, I thought he was chatting with another Bedford. we're chatting about three Bedfords.
Right, no, so you're about, and it was all the local room. We talked about the area. You did Fannad initially. Was that for Kelly, or you did Fannad initially for Kelly, and then you spread it out yourself, or what?
No, the run was there for me. You know, he owned that. He was in Pat Kelly himself owned that area, you know.
Yeah.
He did. He owned Milford and Sherry Garden down as Glen and Fannad.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the bakery didn't do that work themselves, that they subcontracted that out to.
Agents for the job. They still do the same, you know.
Right, is it still done the same way?
When I was there, you know.
Yeah. Right, so you did 20 years for Kelly, Pat Kelly, didn't you? 20-odd years for Pat Kelly.
I suppose it would be.
Yeah. Then you went out on your own in the 80s. So was it just you driving for yourself, or did you have staff, or what was the story?
Oh, no, I drove for myself. No staff, no.
Right, okay. And covering all the areas we talked about, but that's a long day. I mean, you put in some long days, yeah, I'm sure. What was your average day?
At least 10 hours.
Mm.
From you left to you got back again, sometimes more, you know.
Yeah, so you must have been doing more than one run a day, you know, one route a day. You must have been doing the route a couple of times, were you?
Oh, no. It was a big area to cover. The shops then were alone, as you know, there. See, there were 12 in Milford alone to do.
True enough, right. And a chat in every one?
At the boot. You didn't chat, you got no money.
That's it, you had to sweet talk them. Right, so you'd load up, I presume it wasn't just bread, it was all manner of stuff, was it? Like buns? It wasn't just bread, it was buns and all.
I had buns and confectionery, all stuff, you know.
Mm. Yeah, right. So, what was the favourite part of the job at that time? Was it meeting people? Do you like meeting people, Martin?
Because you mentioned
already that maybe money wasn't always... I mean, we all have bills to pay and families to rear, right? But no, you must have loved doing it.
I like the idea of meeting people. You know, in Northern Ireland, you can go to Sherry's out there, you know, and I met ones there, you know, say when I started. And then back next summer, they would come always back to you, you know, and have shake hands with you and all that, you know. I like that, you know.
Right, so bread, spuds. What other kind of stuff was on the What other kind of stuff was on the lorry?
I was just bread and a bit of pastries and buns and all that.
Because between the bread stuff and the spuds, that was pretty much what you got on the plate, wasn't it? If you were lucky. Did you stick to the Bedfords? Because we were already talking about, you had a number of the old Bedfords, right? Whether it was the big one first or the small one first or whatever, but was the Bedford your van of choice? Is that what people recognised you for?
I didn't know the van at that time. It was,
yep.
And it was whatever Pat bought for you, it was to me, or I know that as long as you're going good and that, you know. Mm.
One thing really interests me there when you were talking about the run, 12 shops in Milford.
Yes.
And now we're down to, for a time, one, now two. It's some change, isn't it? I wonder how the 12 kept going, if you know what I mean. Because the population hasn't really changed that much, has it?
Well, you see, them days, a lot of times there was no but little or little.
Of course not, yeah.
You know, and all this was happened then. All the wee shops wasn't pretty complete, you know.
Mm. Yeah, eventually. But yeah. They were able to be open at a time.
For a while.
That's right. You know, and obviously the fittest survived, but something happened in the world of business that 12 went to 2. And it wasn't just, you know, like how many, can you remember how many shops would have been in the likes of Carrigards at the peak?
Well, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's amazing,
six
isn't it?
On the town alone, you know.
Yeah. Unbelievable stuff. How the country's changed too. How many pubs?
the pubs are... Well, I don't run to the pubs, but there's only one pub and the hotel.
That's it. And now the hotel's back. In the hotel. It's amazing.
I think they're doing well too.
Doing fantastic. It's astonishing what they did. It's astonishing what they've done. I remember driving past that hotel, Martin, and I thought, that thing's going to have to get tossed. Who's going to have the money to do the roof, to do the back of it? And they came in. And they've just turned it into this most amazing thing. And it brought life back into Carrigard.
That's amazing how quickly they did it. I think they're very into that business.
Yeah, of course. And there's a hotel now being renovated in Milford. It'll be interesting to see what impact that might have.
It did not do any harm anyway.
No.
The shape appearance of it, you know, was nothing else.
Yeah. I've spoken to people in the past and interviewed people in the past, Martin, who did, you know, went from house to house delivering baked goods or whatever it might be. Did you ever look at that as a business that, you know, whether or not that could be something you could do, you know, going to people's houses, or was it always just going to be the businesses?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it going for the house business at all. Just to the shops, you know.
And it's kind of interesting too, because your dad has a connection to the bakery as well.
My dad?
Yeah.
My father worked in the bakery for years from the start, you know, or almost from the start it opened, you know.
Yeah. So maybe not at the same time, he was baking it and you were delivering it.
That's right.
But not quite at the same time.
Well, he was the ovens man anyway, so.
But isn't it funny how life throws these things up, isn't it?
You
know,
yeah,
it really is.
That's right.
I know this might sound like a silly question, but these kind of chats bring back good memories, okay? Now, I go into a shop and you look at the shelf and there's every type of bread. There's sliced bread, non-sliced bread, yeah, brown bread, gluten-free bread, mixed bread, and all. What was your back of your Bedford full of? Like, was the what kind of variety was there then, or what were people buying?
Well, it was always mostly Malford Batch now was very big at that time, you know, and Malford Pan. The two of them, even their batch loaves went from the van to America. People going out to America took the Malford Batch with them, you know.
Astonishing, isn't it? It just was the taste of home.
That's yeah.
It was the connection. It was the connection to home.
Yes.
I think especially if you work long hours like you at to work, you need a good woman in your life, and you got a good Milford woman too. Yeah. When did you two meet?
Big pound.
When did you and your wife meet? When did you and Angela meet?
We met at a hall in Milford.
Yeah. Mm. Do I need to ring Angela and find? Was it love at first sight?
Big pound.
Was it love at first sight?
Well, China, yes.
Well, love at first bite? I don't know if you're. And you just went on to have what, two kids?
Two young, yeah,
two young boys. Sir. So we've got Joe with us as well. Were you a hands-on dad, or a bit like my dad? Were you more focused, or you know, you had to focus on the work, and your wife maybe more on the parenting, or were you hands-on with the boys, or were you with all the work that you were doing? Were you very hands-on with the lads, like, or did you have to do the graft, and Angela was looking after the boys?
No, well, it was Angela was looking after the boys already. Yeah.
It's changed now.
Yeah.
You're expected to do everything now. the roads, right? Because there's some change in the roads between, you know, the early 80s and now, isn't there?
Big pound.
There's some change in the roads.
Oh, for God's sake. Aye.
Talk to me about the old roads. Traffic.
Very little, there wasn't much traffic on the roads at early stages, and the roads were, Vanity in particular, was a disaster. You couldn't even, you'd have to reverse to make back again if you met someone for about half a mile before you get a piece to pull on.
But I suppose it shows the improvements, and Harry Blaney built you a bridge too, sure.
Yeah,
that must have helped.
That's right. But late for me.
Better late than never. So I'm thinking of you going around the roads then, in these big vans, small vans. Did you ever have any collisions, any crashes?
There were two collisions, actually.
Right.
There was one there at the Woodland School there, where I was up to, we collected the bread up here, you know. A fella came up and one morning was when I was going down, and as a small van with me and a trailer on. And at the, you know, the school there, at Woodland School, you know, I'd burned him off it.
Yep.
He came round there and his chairs went spinning round and hit the van, my van door, and he knocked the trailer off the hook, you know, with the
My God.
And that's funny, the other accident was the manager of the bakery at the time was James Ellams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard Ellams. Mm-hmm. He collided with me at the old school in Milford. He came round on the wrong side of the road too, you know. But thank God there was nobody was hurt or nothing, you know.
You had a passenger on for one of those collisions, did you? You had a passenger on. Was the woman thumbing a lift?
That was another one I was named by.
By the way, can we just say Martin didn't crash a lot? We're just talking about the couple of times he did, and most of them weren't his fault.
No, none of them was my fault. Okay. You know, not bummer or bragging about
no,
it.
No, it's all right.
That was a different. That was a relief work I was doing before I started on my own job steady. You know, I was doing it. What do you call that?
Log cabin.
The log cabin.
The wheel came off. This was for a wee woman at Milford McBride that had a bakery in Milford, you know.
Yeah.
And she had no driver on her, so she said, well, what would I go out for on a Saturday? I only did odd days for her, you know, if she was stuck. And the first thing I heard was a rattle, and the next thing I seen, the wheel was going flying in this.
Oh, my God.
And she went on back by something over the dish, down below the, you know, the rubber. The other side of the rubber. And this old woman, she was heading up to, she's from Dunlow. I don't know, asked me to give her a lift up. But we're done back ways, you know, and the sliding doors and
they opened. Back,
they opened up too, you know. And we went into the field. And it's funny, I don't know what happened to her, because we left, was only very young at the time, you know. We left and I got a lift out when I went out to the road, and a wee man there named Wardy, he used to deliver turf to the Milford Bakery, you know, when they were going the fires. And he came along with the lorry, and there was another fellow on along with me too. He came up and took a tour up to Milford. But the way woman went, I don't know her, and I never thought to her. You know, I was only young at the time. That's only afterwards I thought, you know. It
always bothered her that time, looking for her handbag.
Yeah. But we left her out on her handbag, and I don't know if she got the handbag or not.
I'm sure she did, and she carried on our journey too. I'm sure, no doubt about it at all. So when did you retire from delivering bread, Martin?
Well, they retired there October then.
Yeah. And why?
Well, I suppose the reason was I got a bit nervous when I was on up here in Letterkenny, you know, what's happening.
I don't blame you.
So I thought I was just...
Just the time was right to...
Was right that way. And you know what, I didn't want to have another accident or anything.
Of course not. But come here. There's certain industries, certain trades people just do and keep doing and doing. My dad was a tailor, and tailors don't retire. They just work until such time as they can't work anymore. I mean, you chose not to, right? What kept you going? Why did you work for as long as you did?
Well, I enjoyed my job. You know what? I look forward to getting out and meeting people, you know,
chatting. But you'd seen a lot of changes too, you know, people you get close to on deliveries and then they're moved on and another one come. I mean, you must have met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years.
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite shop?
No, they're all the same to me. Yeah.
And come here, I want to go back and ask you a few more questions, but just talking about your retirement, how has that been for you? Do you know what I mean? Because you're going from being very busy to less busy.
I get it on. It's quite just, you know.
Yeah.
I know.
Just get on with it.
Get on with it, is right.
Yeah, for sure. And come here, hobbies. Did you have much time? Oh, sorry. I wanted to ask you as well. Week throughout your career?
Well, many days in the week.
Yeah.
I worked every day.
Every single... I was thinking that.
Yes.
And did you ever hire anyone or did you always do it yourself? Did you ever hire anyone?
No, well, unless the time I got married or something. Yeah. Like that. You know why.
Just someone to do the cooking?
Why?
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
No holidays?
No, very little holidays now.
And she stuck with you, though. Very good indeed. But what do you do or what... have you done throughout your life that gives you pleasure? Do you know what I mean? So if you want to switch off, I don't know if you ever went out for a pint of Guinness or that or crosswords.
I never took a drink in my life.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Well, how could you? You're driving 7 days a week. Did you take the pledge?
Did what?
Did you take the pledge or just never touch drink? Or?
No, I don't think I ever took a pledge.
You did.
I can't remember.
Well, you stuck to it anyway, whether you took it or not.
I never smoked or never drank.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's not... did you eat bread? I'd be dipping into the back, just the odd loaf here and there. But what interests you? Do you know what I mean?
Football. Aye.
Yeah, the GAA or
no
soccer?
Not the GAA. No, right. I wouldn't be a GAA man now. You know?
No, I can see something in your eyes there. There must be a reason, is there? Which team did you support, or do you support?
team.
Yeah. Which team do you support?
Well, I was supporting Ireland there, you know, with the playing there, you know, but I hadn't the team ready yet.
No, I don't. I watch away at the Premier League or when it's on.
I would watch them all too.
But
you know?
I don't support a team.
No.
And people can't understand that. They go, oh, it must be Man United, it must be Liverpool, it must be Chelsea. No, I don't. My boys support Liverpool.
I know, so that's right here. I might support Liverpool.
But I don't. Now, I would have followed. Do you know when Niall Quinn was involved with Sunderland or something?
Ah, yeah, I know why.
I would find myself checking out the Sunderland results.
That was someone like Sam McGatta.
Yeah, or if Norwich got promoted, I'd find myself. I don't know what it was. I would just pick teams and have an interest.
Irish players on it there. More of an interest.
Well, that's why lots of people in Ireland support random teams like Aston Villa. Because of the Irish players' connections.
Yeah,
do you know
that was someone like that, you know. Yeah.
Okay, and did you ever get over to see any games or any internationals?
No, well, I was at games away back years ago, you know.
Yeah.
I used to go to internationals there in Belfast and all that, you know. Mm.
And I understand you're still a big newspaper reader.
Oh, I need paper.
Tyrconnell Tribune?
No, I usually get the Sun there.
The Nationals.
Okay,
no problem with that. That's all right too. You're also a man of faith, aren't you? And you had a strong involvement with the chapel in Milford. Talk to me a little bit about that. The chapel in Milford.
Oh, I have a job there still. I usually open and close the church for the priest, you know.
But you've been doing that a long time.
I'm doing that for over 40 years.
Yeah. And did you get an honour from the Pope for that work?
I did.
What was that like?
Oh, lovely, aye.
Yeah. Which Pope was it?
Pope Pius.
Right.
They die.
And is that, how is that given to you? You don't have to go to Rome or...
No. It's the priest.
Pass it on. But it's still an honour that is bestowed from the Pope, is it?
He got this for me. The time I had spent doing the job closing and opening for him, you know.
Yeah.
What do you call him?
And the bishop was there too.
It's a big deal. They're not handed out, They're not given to everyone. It's a big deal to receive that type of thing.
I appreciate it,
But faith, is your religion faith important to you?
Big pound.
Your religion, your faith, is it important to you? You're a big fan of the rosary.
Rosary every day. I say the rosary every night. Every night to the wife and myself, you know.
That's amazing.
I do say it every night.
And has that always been the case?
Well, as far as I can remember.
No, because, they often say, if you're in a relationship, they often say, never go to sleep on a row. Which would be tough now if you're both doing the rosary as well, so.
Thank God we haven't any rows, you know.
Right. But if someone wanted a night off, was it you or the wife from the rosary?
We'd do it earlier.
No, I'm thinking of...
No way out.
And you're in fantastic health. You're 91 now, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which is hard to believe, honestly, and I'm not just saying that. Would you put that down to, hard work, but no drinking, no smoking?
I would say it was no drinking, no smoking. I would say it was a big help anyway, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's in great shape. And what about tea or coffee?
Your pardon?
Tea or coffee?
Well, I don't drink very much. I drink...
I would say you have milky tea. If it had a push.
Definitely not.
All right, okay. And you weren't tempted, Joe, to get in on the business, no?
No, definitely not.
You'd seen enough of your dad doing it. Yeah. Well, Martin, listen, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. And I would say, people listen back to this will have... It'll bring back some great memories. Because as I said to you at the beginning, I'm not sure if we'd started recording or not, but someone asked me, who were you chatting to next? And I says, I'm chatting to a man who delivered bread for decades. Oh, Martin O'Donnell, is it? Martin O'Donnell. So everybody knows you.
Well, give me 2 minutes.
Well, I heard you always kept your nose clean, so you're grand.
Well, as best I could.
All right, okay. And is there anything, Martin, that we haven't talked about that, that you think's worth mentioning?
No, I think we've covered it very well now. Yeah. You know, you were okay. Didn't miss many spots.
No, it's just a wonderful thing, and to have worked up until last year as well is. And for you to go out on your own terms, you know, you just decide, and, you know, it's not for me anymore. It's,
that's right, yeah.
It's remarkable stuff. And I know lots and lots of people will have lots of memories to share, Martin, once they listen to this. So thank you so much for calling up. Thank you, Joe O'Donnell. You might have heard Joe in the background. Occasionally, Joe O'Donnell's up with Martin O'Donnell today. Breadman for 65 years. You had known from Carrigart, Milford, Remelton, Downings, Fannant, all over the place, yeah. Really. Thank you so much for calling up.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Okay, that's this week's episode of the Greg Hughes Podcast. Don't forget, we're back next Friday. In fact, every Friday morning from 11 a.m. with a brand new episode. If you have any suggested guests or any feedback on any of the episodes you've listened to, well, feel free to get in touch with the researcher and producer of this podcast, Caroline Orr. In the best way, email her, Caroline Orr at HighlandRadio.com. But until we meet again,